Amen. Thank you, Ms. Clark. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and go to Revelation chapter number 3, Revelation chapter number 3, a familiar passage of Scripture for us this morning, and one that we'll be using this coming year for our button. If you didn't get to see the button, we handed out the buttons this morning. They're in the back, some in the front here. I want you to get one and wear one around town. We've said this before. We wear these because people go, what are you wearing that for? What's that say? Amen. What's on there? And you get an opportunity to witness other people just because they open the door. Now, the button says an open door in 2024. So, and then at the, off to the side, it'll have two verses there. And this has got two meanings for us this morning. I'm going to preach on it. And so the title of the message today for the tape room is An Open Door in 2024. And we'll use Revelation 3:8 on there and also Revelation 4:1. So there's two doors open to us. One is to the church to minister until the door opens in heaven in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And so either way, we have an open door of opportunity to continue to minister if we're the right kind of church, and we're doing that. And then one of these days, and I'm going to be honest with you, I hope that it's in 2024. That the door opens and the Lord calls us home to be with him. And so I'm looking forward to that. In Revelation chapter number 3, we're going to get started, but I'd like to pray before we start this morning, and then we'll just try to convey some of the things that many of you have heard over and over again. But at the same time, as we said in Sunday school this morning, I love how Paul said, I'm going to tell you the same thing because it's safe for you. It's safe for me. Amen. I'm thankful this morning that we're still using the same book. Amen. There's a lot of places that didn't note the same book that they started out with this morning. And I've determined, one of the things Pastor Carter said, he determined to finish with what he started with, and I'm determined to do the same thing. Amen. I want to keep on keeping on, and when the Lord calls me home, I'd like for the book that's still in my hand to be the King James Bible. Amen. And a lot of times people change, but I'm glad Jesus never does. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I thank you for another opportunity to stand and preach from your word. Lord, I pray now as Sunday school teachers teach and Sunday school teachers move on into junior church. And Lord, they've shared a little bit of the gospel already. But Lord, I pray that it be brought home for many that maybe it's their first time in church. And some, it's been many times. But today will be the day that they realize that they're a sinner and that they need a Savior. I pray if there's folks in our auditorium like that today that they would not hold back from you, but they would surrender and get saved and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray for those of us who we've got saved a long time ago, Lord, that today that we would be reminded of the need to serve you until you come, Lord, to be faithful until we see the door open in heaven. I pray that you'll just help us, Lord, today to convey the message that you'd have preached. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. And Revelation chapter number 3, many of you realize in chapter 2 and 3 here, there are seven churches of Asia that are being spoken to. I like to remind everybody because there's a lot of different people. And I'm not sure what your background is or who taught you what, but there are people that teach that these are fictitious or that these seven churches are only these seven churches. But these seven churches were literal churches in the time of Jesus Christ. He's writing to John and saying, John, he's saying to John, write down in letters and send them to these churches. And these actual churches were pictures of seven church ages that would come upon the earth over a time period, again, that we are still living in. And we are in the seventh time period, which is the Laodicean church age. But just as in that day and age, these seven churches existed in every one of the seven church ages. Churches have existed that pictured all seven churches. There are churches today that are in great persecution, all right, for the cause of Jesus Christ, but that's not all of Christianity. Today we sit in freedom and we worship in freedom, but there are some people that today meet in hiding under the ground, having their church services, afraid to sing out because they don't have the freedom to do so. But that's not the majority of Christianity today. Most people in our will worship for their faith today in freedom, or at least free to express their beliefs in Jesus Christ. But there was a church age where church was predominantly being crushed. is an age of time where Christianity and Christians, if you were to say, didn't matter what type of church you were or who you were, if you named the name of Jesus Christ, they'd burn you at the stake. They would bring you to an arena and turn hungry lions out on you. It was a predominant time period that marked the age of time and the church age that it covered over. But we picture, listen, the Laodicean church age is one where God says he wants to spew it out of his mouth. It's one of saying that we have power, but not exercising it. Having the Spirit of God to seal you until the day of redemption, but then thinking that you can act like the devil, live like the world, that you can condone homosexuals, that you can condone women in the pulpit. It's getting commonplace and everyday, and now we're just being bigots, racists, and we can go through the list of things if you actually stand for Bible doctrine. But the church, listen, that's the Laodicean church age. That's people who got base salvation, that it's simply through Jesus Christ and accept him, but anything else goes. Doing things decently and in order don't matter to them, not according to the scripture. They take a model from the world, and it's a business model. And the business model oftentimes is about money. And if you've ever seen one of those Laodicean churches on TV, it looks kind of like this. If you just send in your three payments of $19.95, I'll send you this prayer cloth. Or right in the middle of the sermon, you could get more of this sermon today in my book. If you just order it. Or maybe you've had one of those preachers, okay? I got someone gave me a Bible, and I'm not trying to be mean today. I'm just going to tell you. It bothered me. I got a Bible, you know, and it was a study Bible. And the man who is still alive today, his commentary was in red. And Jesus's letters weren't. Now, I know that that just helps us understand and read, but it bothered me. All right? If I was going to write a commentary, my letter sure wouldn't be in red. I can tell you that. Folks, I'm just telling you, you say, preacher, you're after people. No, I'm just trying to tell you the age we live in. All right? Most of the time, we get after politicians, but we don't need to see politicians. You know why we're in the shape we're in? Because of the churches across America. A watered down, limp-wristed, no backbone pulpit is how we got where we are today. Going off into error, using whatever Bible the people forced on him, and he was only there because he was a hireling and not a pastor or a shepherd of the sheep. I'm just going to tell you, I'm calling it like it is today. I thank God that we live in a day and age when I don't have to be. I'm in the Laodicean church age, but I sure don't want to be a part of a Laodicean church. This Bible tells us that these seven churches existed throughout time. And even though we live in a Laodicean church age, I'm thankful that people, even in Haines City, can come to this place. And even with all the traffic and all the things, listen, I pulled my hair out over the break because of all the traffic. Right? I mean, we can laugh about it, right? But all the things that go on in this world, listen, there's a place that you can come to. It ain't a Laodicean church here. It's a Philadelphian church. Look, I want you to see here in chapter number 3, and I want you to see in verse number 7, it says, "And to the angel of the church at Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love." Do you know what Jesus said would mark his church? His temple was a house of prayer, but his church that will be an open door through every age is marked by brotherly love. He says that people will know my disciples because you love one another. Amen and amen. Now, I know these lovey-dovey churches that are out there in the Laodicean church age, but listen, what ought to mark a true church of Jesus Christ is the love that you find. And sometimes if we're not careful, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm having a good time doing it. I hope you can enjoy it as well. I know some of you were made to come to church. You know, when I was a boy, I was drugged to church. I used to say I was on drugs. I was drugged to church and back home, drugged to church and back home, right? We laugh about it, but you know, along the way, I met Jesus, and it changed things for me. And I enjoyed going to church. And then I met a girl at church. And man, it tuned up my whole life. And then I got married in church. What a blessing. I'm just going to tell you, church is something that changed my life. And then I stayed in church with that girl. Amen. I don't know about you, but man, I come into church today and I thought to myself, and God's been so good to me. I taught this morning about looking back and reflecting and just taking a moment to realize how good I've had it. Man, I don't know what you're thinking about looking into the brand new year, and there are things. When I look in the mirror and I realize that there's a lot of me that don't look like Jesus Christ, I do have resolutions that I made that I want to look more like him in the brand new year until he comes. But I'm just going to tell you this morning, folks, I'm thankful that I'm not what I used to be. Because when I look back at the reflection of who I used to be outside of Jesus Christ, I don't ever want to go back to being that man. I don't ever want to be falling back into the same pits that Jesus lifted me out of. He says here, there's an open door. Look at verse 7. And to the angel of the church at Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that is the key of David, that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Now he opens up the book by, when you want to know who Jesus is. By the way, if you don't have a red letter Bible, this is red letters. This ain't John speaking. This is John penning down what Jesus said. This is not John's revelation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. John pens down, Jesus says, the one that says this to you, these things saith he that is holy. You know what John would have never written about himself? These things saith he that is holy. The thing that God claims to be and is the only one that is and is the only one that can make you and I holy is the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy. He that is true. You know, the world is looking for truth. Don't you think it's funny that every time you try to share Jesus Christ with them, they can't seem to come to the truth? They want the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But it's so true when they say they can't sometimes handle the truth. They've been sold a lie. They've been told all kinds of, duped into all kinds of science, Scientology, and everything else that explains away everything that God has made and done throughout the ages. And when you bring them the truth, or the true person of Jesus Christ, they look at you like you got three heads. But you know why we have to be a church of an open door in 2024? I want people to feel like, listen, doesn't matter when you come around. Don't matter when you choose to start. We're going to be here with an open door ready to receive you. You may reject. You may slam the door. You may be upset with somebody from our church, but you're always welcome. You're always welcome in the door to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're always welcome to come and receive the truth. You're always welcome to come through those doors and hear the good, saving news of Jesus Christ. Look, he says this. A church at Philadelphia, brotherly love, it's always open and no man can shut it. He says in verse 8, he says to the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, the Philadelphia church. Listen, I want you to understand, even though this is a weird, lopsided, terrible thing, the church at Laodicea is still called a church. I mean, I think a lot of times people attribute a lot more to what a true church is, but we know that this church was way out of whack. But it still is called a church. He looks at church at Philadelphia, and he says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Do you know what constitutes a Philadelphian church? Their works. Now, he lists off some things. You have to be a believer, baptized into the church to be a member of the church. Okay? So this is the body of believers who believe in Jesus Christ, simple faith in him, and they've been baptized according to the scriptures. And he says, this is what makes you this Philadelphian church. Number one, you got some strength about you. Now, I just want to say this. You know that when you got saved, you got the Holy Ghost inside of you. And the power to do things that you could never do before. To stop and to say no to things that you never said no to before. The whole idea of a resolution is to change who you were last year into somebody different the next year. I hope it is moving away from what doesn't look like Jesus Christ into something that looks more like Jesus Christ, and to change who you are for the better into one who doesn't change. The unchangeable, the holy, the true, Jesus Christ. I want to be more and more like him. But the Bible says here, he says, you got little strength. Do you know, I don't know if I was going to make a New Year's resolution as a part of the Philadelphian church, I would want to change my service. And instead of just having, listen, I'm marked by a little strength. Well, you know, if you got a little bit of strength, you know, you can get more. You know what the Bible tells us to do? To build up ourselves in our most holy faith. If you're in the faith and you've got the Holy Spirit inside you today and you've been a witness, then you know what takes, you know what it takes to get more muscle? Do more presses. Put more weight on. If I'm going to be a better witness, what do I got to do more of? I got to do more witnessing. I got to find a new way to do it. You say, well, preacher, last year I gave away tracts. You said, take them tracts, empty them track racks. You know, I can't tell you how many times. How many tracks have gone through the doors? How many of you have been faithful to be a witness of Jesus Christ? I told you last week, I went to places and I found tracks in the bathroom and on the shelf and everywhere else. And it's a great way to get the gospel out, but it ain't the only way. You know, in the new year, we're going to have opportunities. You know, I told you, somebody this week told me that visited our ministry last week and said, I've never seen a church that's a witness in church like your church is. You go soul winning three different times in the week. Hey, man. There's more days in the week, aren't there? Sometimes we thinking we're doing all we can do. But if we're witnessing 3 days in a week, there's still four we ain't out. Now, I know that we're being a witness every day, right? But that's what when it looks like it on the calendar. You say, well, preacher, how are we going to do that? I'm not saying the people that are coming out for the three we're already doing need to go do more. Maybe we could pick one for folks that aren't. And be a witness that day. You say, preacher, man, Sunday morning, this ain't a Sunday morning message. It is to the Philadelphian church. I know they don't preach like this to the Laodicean church. But we do at Philadelphia because Philadelphia's got a little strength. It says, I can do a little bit more than I did last year. I took and I looked back at what happened last year. And if we're going to see more people saved, you can't put in the same amount of work and expect to get more. That means I've got to count what I've got to look at my life, and I've got to count what I'm doing, and I got to say, how am I going to do this? You say, preacher, what do you mean? Listen, I know some of you ain't going to be able to walk the streets and knock doors, but you can pray. So we lock a little bit more down. I read the scripture, all right? I read scripture 5 minutes a day. Why don't we try to go up to 10? Change from the inside out by the scripture. Always trying to add something else to our life. Add something to our faith. Say, preacher, I come on Sunday morning. Well, maybe you want to come on Sunday night. I come Sunday morning, come Sunday night. Why don't you come Wednesday night? Preacher, that's a lot. I know. But I don't know about you, but every time I chose to come one more service, I realized that I did that because I needed it. It's what it took. I decided I want to change. You know, I told you before this morning, you know, I told my boy last year, you're going to get stronger. I needed to go to the gym. You know what I did? I procrastinated the year away. I said, well, go to the gym. He said, all right, when are we going? I said, it's January. It's too busy in this month. I'll do it in February. February came. Dad, let's go to the gym. I said, man, I thought I'd have time in February, but I just ain't got no time for that. March came. I said, forget that, boy. That was a pipe dream. I can't make it down there. Right? But what do you got to do? I didn't need to go to the gym. I can do push-ups at the house. You know, sometimes we got this big dream. I got to go down here. Why don't we start with the little things? You know what would have made me stronger is if I just did a couple more push-ups at night. I did a couple more sit-ups. I got one of them things that's got a big belt on it, and it's not the belt around me. It's called a treadmill thing, right? And it sits there. I don't know why we got it. Right? But I've done more work getting it in and moving it around than I have ever on it. I've done more work to get around it than I have to get on it. We all laugh about that, right? But apply that to the Christian life and our service. We all are thinking about, listen, you don't have to go do, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a bus captain to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You don't have to go and take some big jump and step and change everything about every day of your life. You can decide, I'm just going to be a witness. And I'm going to be a little bit more of a witness. Or I need to grow in Jesus Christ, so I'm going to come to church one more time than I did last year, every week. And then put it into practice in your life. I promise you this. If you, listen, it has been said throughout the ages, it takes three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Why do we need it? Because we live in the Laodicean church age. Do you know, you say, well, back in the day, they only went once, maybe every 2 weeks when the circuit riding preacher came around. Yeah, but they didn't have an internet that was pumping trash into their brain day after day after day. They didn't have a television and a radio station that was pumping garbage into them day after day after day. It takes the washing of the word to wash us off. It takes being in church and around fellowship with a believer. Listen, don't tell me you don't have bad influences around you during the week. Wouldn't it be good to schedule some good influences? Schedule some good times to be around God's people and to be under the word of God and the sound of it. You say, preacher, I didn't come today to feel bad. I don't want you to feel bad. I want you to make a choice. Preaching's about choosing to do something for Jesus Christ instead of choosing yourself and yourself over and over again. Listen, I'm going to tell you, you know, when I made the choice for Jesus Christ, I didn't choose that for God. I chose it for me. I was headed for a place called hell. And when I chose him, I said, Lord, I don't want to go to that place. I want to go to your place. And I made a choice for me. And when I chose him, all of a sudden, I didn't realize that there were so many other choices that were going to come. Choices to be able, and most of the Christian life is denying self and living for Jesus Christ. Taking up your cross. And going forward for Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I'm just saying this morning, there's an open door of service. Every Philadelphian church is going to be marked by little strength and keeping God's word. Where are you going to keep God's word? Where do you defend yourself? Do you know I thank God for the time my parents put me in a Christian school? And I grew up there, and I mean, day after day after day, when I was learning repetition and how to spell words and how to recite things and all that, I didn't learn stupid poems from the world that wouldn't matter for anything. I learned the Word of God. And they stuck it in my heart and put it there. And sometimes now, when somebody says something that's not true, the Holy Spirit will draw something out that was put inside of me when I was a boy. And I know the truth. Because it came from the Word of God, and I can refute what they say. Not because I did a whole bunch of work, because I just was in a place that kept pouring into me and pouring into me. You know, the church house is the same way. It's a place to be poured into and to pour out into others. We ought to grow to a place that we become a vessel that holds up the things that we've been taught, and then we find a place to pour ourselves out into the new generation and the next generation. That lady that said we were a witness in church today, you know what she said about those kids? She was taken back. It was like we were some kind of crazy church that lived back in 40 or 50 years ago because we had children. Do you know most places you can go, listen, you can mark other churches in the Laodicean church age because you can't find any children there. It's a dead place. And they have no hope for the next generation. It's not because they don't love them and they don't witness to them. It's because, again, they don't live in such a way sometimes. It's not every place. Sometimes you don't ever replace them. But man, I'm going to tell you, I was proud to see all our young people. And now I was proud not only to see them stand up here, but to sing for the King of Glory. Sing his name and to praise his name and to not be ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. A little strength, but we can have strength. We kept his word. Boy, I'm going to keep his word about witnessing and working and being in his house. I want to keep his word until he comes. How about this? He says, and has not denied my name. You know, one of the things about being saved and knowing it and holding on to it and really being is somebody who does not deny. Listen, think about the real change in Peter. Now, most of us in this place, very few of us can identify with the Apostle Paul. But you know who most of us, the most we identify with any of the disciples? It's Peter. Right? On one day and off the next. One day I'm saying the right thing, the next day I'm trying to pull my foot out of my mouth. Amen? One day I'm there saying, Lord, you're the Messiah. And the next day, let me build a temple to Moses and Elijah and you, Lord, right? And he's like, folks, I'm just telling you, if we could identify with anybody, it would be Peter. And you know what Peter did, given the chance? When he was put to the test, standing around the fire, watching what was going to happen to his Savior, he denied him. You know, a lot of times in our Christian life, as we build up our most holy faith, that's where we're at. When we're on the fence of whether people, listen, you know, standing there, they said to him, you got to be one of his disciples because your speech betrayeth thee. The way you talk sounds like somebody goes to church. You know what he did then to prove he wasn't? He changed his talk. He went back to the old man. He started to curse, started to act like the old man to try to convince him. He tried over and over again until finally he fulfilled exactly what Jesus said he would do. He denied him thrice. Listen, I'm looking at a crowd today. Listen, I don't know whether you're back there where Peter was and denying Jesus Christ, but as a church, we need to be a church that wholly and solely, we got a little strength and we're witnessing. We're focused and trying to build up ourselves in our most holy faith. That we're going forward for Jesus Christ and keeping his word. I mean, we've made a decision we're going to keep his word and that we're not going to deny him. When put to the test, if put on trial, if somebody came in here today and said, I'm going to put you in jail for being a Christian, that they would be able to prove it because of how you live. Listen, denying Jesus Christ, listen, I'm just going to tell you, you say, preacher, I'd never do that. Listen, do you know that this is something that is said of this church, but when we get to the Laodicean church, you know what they do? They're Christ deniers. You know what marks this age? Well, you can get saved any way you want. I mean, you can name anything. That's denying Christ. That's denying the truth. You say, preacher, you're being dramatic. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, he goes through here. It's not just an open door of service. You know what else there's an open door of? Solid theology. He goes on and tells, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. You know, it sounds really bad, the synagogue of Satan, but you know what they were? They just replaced Israel. They were replacement theologists. Do you know that a lot of the things that people call churches out here today, the Roman Catholic Church, and anything that came out of it, they believe that they're going to replace Israel. That they've taken their place and they've got their promises. And the Lord said, this church here, the Philadelphian church, he said, I'll make them that are of the synagogue of Satan. By the way, I just want you to understand, he didn't call them a church. He called them the synagogue of Satan. He said, I'll make them come and bow before your feet. Listen, there's going to be a day when we're lined up around the throne and folks that were religious are cast into hell. I mean, folks, we'll be standing along each side of that and they'll be heading towards a great white throne. And many of us, because we thought, well, they're religious, they go to church, but they don't believe in Jesus only for salvation. Well, they believe in Jesus, but they add the sacraments to it. Listen, you know what we're going to stand there with because we didn't witness to our friends that we know were on their way to hell because they didn't trust in Christ? We're going to stand with blood on our hands. And we're going to look down and we're going to see people pass by that we hoped had it straight. I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. in a brand, ending a year and looking into a brand new one. I was thinking about what I was going to preach this morning, and I looked through a little screen, and listen, I was standing here today, and I can tell you that there's been a time in each one of my children's lives that they bowed their head and accepted Christ. It gives me great peace. But I looked through a little screen at a little boy that's a little older than a year old, and he carries a little bit of my blood. And I looked through that phone, and I said, boy, Lord, I know he's safe right now, but help me live a life that he can see Jesus in my life. Help me to make sure that my life shows him an open door to Jesus Christ. Folks, I don't just want that little boy that I'm related to go to heaven. There are people all through this town that I look at and I talk to when I go get parts and when I pick up groceries that I wonder where they're going to spend eternity. And the church at Philadelphia is not just one person in the church that worries about people in their town's salvation. It's a congregation of people who are soul conscious that people are dying and going to hell, even if they're religious. And they determine that they're going to witness every day as hard as they can, because one day will be the last day. And instead of being a church with an open door, the open door will open in heaven and the church will be gone. And as we listen, I'm just going to tell you, I know when we think of the rapture of the church, we often think of, I'm going to see Jesus face to face. But I'm going to tell you, there are going to be some of us that are going to think, listen, you know, just like I thought, I should have gone to the gym. I should have witnessed to this person. Some people's last thought will be about people that they left behind because they never took the time. They never worked up the courage. They never invested themselves in being the witness to someone else. I'm just going to tell you, I stood there and I mean that. The soul of my grandchild is very important to me. But for all of us, the soul of your grandchildren are important to me. And they should be important to all of us, collectively as a church. The soul of our town's grandchildren and children. We run buses. You know why we run buses? Because every soul is important. You know how you felt when those kids walked across the stage and thank God and we counted every one of them? We counted them because they count. But I'm going to tell you, we had a lot, didn't we? But if you think they're a drop in the bucket, do you know how many kids go to high school in our area in Polk County? Over 10,000 kids. And 195 of all ages walked across the stage. We haven't won Haines City. We haven't won Polk County. You say, we're only one church. We got a little strength. We got a little strength left. I think we can finish our course. I think we can keep the faith. I think we can keep the doors open of salvation until Jesus comes. Listen, today, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, do you know you can have what I've been preaching about that we need to share with others? We've shared it with you. Jesus came from heaven to reconcile us back into God, to save us from death and hell. Sin dries and takes us to a devil's hell. But what Jesus did for us pays our sin debt so that we can spend eternity with him in heaven. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, today can be the day of salvation. If you're here and you haven't made a resolution or resolved yourself to do something different in your Christian life to be more like Jesus, what I'm asking our church to be is to be more like this Philadelphian church. Choose one thing. Choose two things. Choose three things that will make you more like Jesus this year, and resolve and ask God to help you. I can't do it for you. You can't do it by yourself, but you can go to a holy God and say, God, you could change me from the inside out. You could make me new. You could give me the time. You could give me the strength. You could make me more like yourself if I yield myself. All you have to do is yield. All you have to do is invest yourself. And I'm promising you, just like the old prodigal son, when he headed for home, guess who was waiting for him? His daddy was waiting for him to turn the corner and come home. God's just like that with us. He's waiting for us to come home. Today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I beg you, receive Christ today. If you're here and you're a Christian, you're a member of our church, I hope you understand that the preacher wasn't trying to be hard or mean to you today. I have a burden for souls. I have a burden for our church. I have a burden for the lost, and I want to see people saved. Not so that our church can have so many people that we can't hold them, but so that heaven will know their name, so that we don't stand before the white throne judgment with blood on our hands, but we stand there with smiles about everyone else who's standing with us instead of walking to a devil's hell. Today, if God spoke to your heart, we're going to give you opportunity. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to be saved, I'll meet you in the front, and I'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a Christian and you want to resolve yourself for God today, why don't you step out and come?
As I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am. And waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I invite you to step out. This is an old-fashioned invitation, and we're inviting you to step out and walk down the aisle, and we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home because of what Jesus did for you on Calvary. We want you to do that today. Please don't leave here with a doubt of where you'll spend eternity. Make sure today that heaven will be your home. As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight rich is healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Listen, if you're here this morning and you didn't make a decision for Christ and you need to be saved, I'd love to meet with you right after the service. We'll just take a moment, and there's others here. You can ask someone else, how can I be saved? So many people in the building had to do exactly what you need to do. They had to ask somebody, and someone showed them through the Bible how to be saved. And listen, every one of us need that, don't we? Amen. I don't know what decisions you made today. That's not necessarily something, but you know, one of the things that for every one of us, as we make decisions, whether you did that in the pew or whether you came down here, this is a church, you know, of brotherly love. That's why it's a Philadelphian church, all right? And when we do that, you know, why we make things public before the church is because our brothers and sisters can pray for us. They can encourage us. amen, in our decisions. Now, sometimes I understand, sometimes we hold them to ourselves, but one of the things that I think in this age, this Laodicean age, sometimes we keep things to ourselves. And you're looking at somebody who did that for a long time. I surrendered to preaching. I didn't tell nobody. But you know what? Finally, the Lord wouldn't leave me alone about it. And then when I told everyone in the church, you know, I thought everybody would say, not him. God can't do nothing with that guy. Boy, everybody encouraged me. My grandma said, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Amen. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, I know a lot of times in our church, there's people who make decisions for God. Let other folks pray for you and help you. Let other folks put it out where other folks can. You say, well, I don't know if everybody will like it. Listen, there's nothing better. When you get saved, the best thing you can do is tell the church. Amen. When you surrender to something in your life, listen, folks, lady came down this morning and said, I want to be a choir. I said, I think Brother Burt can make that happen. Amen. Listen, when we want to join things or help, a lot of times we don't know how to get it done, and that's why God gave us a church, a group of people, a body to help us to get into those things. Amen. So whatever it is that God spoke to your heart about, maybe things that you say, I'd like to be a part of this, preacher. Listen, ask us. Let us know about it so we can get you plugged in so you can be a help. Don't wait. Some of you might have thought all last year, how do I get involved? Okay? Don't wait through the year to ask that question. Ask it now as we cross into a brand new year. Listen, you can get involved in so many different ways. And you say, preacher, you're preaching again. I know, but you need it. Anyway, so we need it. Amen. I'm going to close in prayer, but just let me say this. If you're here and you're lost and you don't know for sure heaven will be your home, we'd love nothing more but to show you how you can know that. Pray for our buses as they head home today, and I'll see you tonight at 7 o'clock for our watch night service. We'll close out the year in church. Amen together. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. I thank you for another year and one coming, Lord, as we close one out. Help us to thank you for what you've already done. But Lord, help us not to be satisfied with who we are and what you've done, but to look forward and to serve you and to just beg you for more souls and to serve you better next year. Lord, help us to be what we ought to be for you in the brand new year. In Jesus' name, amen.